All right, we call this regular meeting of January 11th, the City Council to order at 6 p.m. May we have a roll call, Madam Clerk?
Certainly. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Looby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov is absent. Thank you.
And he's excused. So the mission statement states to provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government. And maybe, can you please, or we have a quorum, I'm sorry, but please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Recognition of visitors. We have none. So, Mr. Rogers. So, we have a motion to adopt the agenda.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Been moved by Coleman, seconded by Looby. Is there any objection to the agenda as presented? Hearing no objection, it will be considered adopted as by consensus. Got the approval of minutes of January or December 28th, 2021. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes.
Move to approve minutes of December 28th, 2021.
Second.
Moved by Coleman, seconded by Tungle. Is there any objection to the minutes as represented? Hearing none, I'll say that they are adopted by consensus. And next, we have a financial report. And the city manager?
Yes, the financial report is in your packet, and Jim should be on the line to provide you an overview and an update.
Good evening, Vice Mayor and Council. I just wanted to give you, so you have before you the November financial information. And as you can see, for the most part, we're doing very well in terms of tax collection, which is the biggest part of the city's revenue. We're doing very well. And specifically, you can look at the raw seafood tax at 62% of the budget. We should be right around 43-44%. So we're doing well. I know that December is going to be a low month, but for the most part, we've done a great job with bee season. Sales tax is at about 75% of our budget, which again is really good. Apart from that, I just, again, 43% is your benchmark, and we're doing well in the other categories. So is there any questions regarding the financial reports for November?
Let me go down the list. Coleman, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Looby?
No.
Tungle?
No question, just a statement that January will be a little slow to season is not kicking in until pretty much the end of the month, so it's going to be slow for a month of January, too.
Thank you. Mr. Bell?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Nicholson?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, not only is January going to be slow, but we've also taken a 23% cut in Pollock. So that's going to make a difference come the end of the year. So anyway, looking good. Thank you. Anything further?
I did want to follow up on Councilmember Luby's question from the October financials with respect to the parks budget exceeding their expenditures exceeding budget. Did a bit of research, and a significant portion of that budget is comprised of a lease, which we do budget for, but it leaves little room for error in other areas. And what I found was when it comes to the utilities, that's really the only other expenditure related to parks. And water consumption amounts for Kelty Field and Tudyakov Field were significantly higher through the summer months in FY22 versus FY21. So July through September, much greater, which led to the overage in those budgets. And so the water consumption was a big part of that. And then obviously we had a rate increase on the utility side, which also played a part in that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet.
All right. Thank you. City manager report. Town manager.
Yes. Thank you. The manager's report is in your packet. I do have a couple of things to add for your information. First thing, I think it's fair to acknowledge that we have quite the flight backup happening as we speak. I did reach out to Rob McKinney with Raven and have set up a meeting with him for this Friday morning. I stressed to him today that we've got many folks that are stranded in Alaska, right in Anchorage right now. So that meeting will discuss the flight challenges that we're experiencing getting both on and off island right now, and then hopefully learn a little bit about Raven, what Raven is doing about it, so to help rectify that situation. So I will certainly keep you guys posted on that. Secondly, the manager's report touches on some of our state lobby efforts. The mayor and I met with Diane Bloomer on Monday morning to discuss the upcoming lobby trip, which was originally planned for March 2nd through 4th timeframe. Which are the dates that are in your in the manager's report in your packet. However, given the Swampsea date meetings, the Swampsea meetings being held on March 3rd and 4th, we're going to need to shift the dates for the lobby trip back some from February 28th through March 2nd, which would then allow those that wanted to go to the Swampsea meetings to go directly there from the Juneau trip. So council is set to authorize that travel at the next council meeting, so the January 25th council meeting. We did also talk about keeping that group small, but while still allowing for one person from the tribe and OC to join us. We all agreed that made a lot of sense and would be quite valuable, especially given all of the positive feedback that we received during the federal lobby trip. So right now, Diane is drafting up a schedule, and I'll be working with her on that for the trip itself. And then finally, a bit of a COVID update. The latest numbers that I have are still what's currently posted on our dashboard, and so those are from yesterday. So the total number of known active cases that we have here are 122, with 88 of those being classified as community cases. Also on the dashboard, you'll notice that the wastewater surveillance continues, and those numbers are pretty interesting to watch. They're kind of swinging up and down, but none have really kind of crossed over that highest point that we've seen. So we're continuing to monitor that. Again, all of that information is up on the dashboard, and folks certainly seem to be responding accordingly. This weekend, you might have noticed that the city did help out with the clinic's vaccination efforts over at the PCR, and that went quite well. Fire is also had also been helping out the clinic as their staff continues to return to the island, and I just heard word that staff is returning to the island, so that's very exciting for everyone, I'm sure. The fire chief and I had a call with Will Rogers at the clinic today. Will reiterated what we know is that those case counts do continue to rise, but the good news is there really has not been any hospitalizations as a result, and industry continues to do the great work that they've been doing and keeping folks isolated as needed. And certainly we do have a high percentage of vaccinated folks, which is making a big difference in limiting the serious illness that isn't actually incurring. IFHS continues to test and provide both vaccination and boosters. And as Will put it, I think it was beautiful, the best line of defense continues to be the vaccinating and the testing. So Will actually is here tonight if there's any questions that you might have that are clinic related. And so that is really all I have at this point, and happy to try to answer questions that you might have.
All right, thank you. Mr. Tungle, we'll start with you.
Yeah, on testing, do we Are we getting more of those things that they can take home, that hand out testing, so people can test home without running around if they're positive, if they got somebody in contact with?
I believe that was the clinic that had ordered those, and you know the city did help to distribute them, some of those. So I will call on Will to see if he can kind of give a status update on that. I will say that those at-home kits, you can go on Amazon and order some if you're interested. I know I did that. So they are commercially available. But I'm going to turn around. Will, if you can kind of give us a little bit of update to see, you know, if you guys are ordering some of those. I think those were well received.
Yeah, we had ordered some take-home kits. We distribute some of them to the library, to the PC. I call it the rec center, and I can't get the. But in any case, but you know the state. I checked with the state this week. They don't have any more. We have an order in with the feds, but they have not delivered yet. So we're hoping to get more, and we keep exploring ways to do testing. The testing modality that we have now is a little bit long. We can only do eight swabs every half hour, so that takes a little bit longer. But again, some of our supply chain is the same thing as your luggage and what's happening in the grocery stores and everything else. So we struggle with that. But our staff is starting to return. Dr. Eretz on on the island. We have a new third-year resident from Anchorage down, and another FEMA nurse. So we have two FEMA nurses on board, and now we have, you know, and B. Dietrich is still on the island, and so is Meg Cernecki. So we're getting back, and we still have a few key members we'd like to get back on island, but it's coming along pretty well. But you know, so. Again, just to reiterate, we have a high percentage of vaccinated individuals on the island. It's in the high 80s. We continue to vaccinate, so that's pretty high if you compare it to other communities in Alaska and of course across the states. But I think the community has done a very good job of managing the pandemic. I think we've only had one death attributed to COVID. This time, I look at it as Delta was deadly, and Omicron is virulent, and it's just spreading fast, and it's challenging, but many people are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms that particularly those that have been vaccinated. So, any other questions?
So, are we following the guidelines of 5 days after testing positive and then retest, or they can just go back to work after 5 days?
No, we're following, we're following the CDC guidelines, yes.
And that is 5 days?
Oh boy, it's 5 days. And then you can, we're recommending testing, but, but then you can go back masked.
Thank you.
So.
Mr. Bell.
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Nicholson?
No questions at this time, thank you.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes, since we're on the COVID part, just more of a comment, I guess I hope. And obviously, because our emergency declaration is now expired, we are not able to issue any mandates. We're hoping people are using the best common sense and practices as possible. However, from the get-go, my concern has been here has always been the medical resources that could become strained by overloading. So I just, it's just more of a comment. I just hope that we maintain good communication with our medical facility, and that if we find something that is becoming dire, I hope we have good, reach out to our city manager to make sure we can possibly make good steps forward if necessary. I mean, for people who are, not here present and listening, we're all masked up and we're all social distanced.
Right.
So we're definitely, we are here in chambers, are taking necessary precautions. So I hope that, we can continue that forward.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And again, it's, a lot of the cooperation that we've already received from the city and the city manager and the fire department, et cetera, in getting the job done. So thank you. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Libby.
Yeah, just how are your antibodies holding up? With all of the cases, have you
how or what
the antibodies the thank you.
I'd have to get back to you on that. I know we have them, but I don't know. I don't know what our I can't be specific about that.
Okay, I was just curious if that was a strain on on the clinic or not. So okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah. So. The other thing is, the antigen tests, what I've experienced in Anchorage a week ago, is even CVS or Walgreens, all of them, and it came, that's true for down south also, they can keep them in the stores about 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, and they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's a supply issue of those antigen tests right now.
Yeah.
Do you have any updated numbers? Rough?
No, I mean, other than that were already shared, that's our latest update.
Okay. And then the other question was that I had, Deneen asked, was about the monoclonal antibodies.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think, appreciate the work that the clinic staff is doing.
Thank you very much.
I had an issue that I called in and they told me, we don't want you in here because they're swimming in COVID, was the words. But I understand that. And thank you.
But just today, we had more people on the island now. So we'll see what we can do.
Right.
Thank you.
So that's one part of the city manager report. Do you have anything else, Ms. Luby, on the city manager report?
No other questions. Thanks.
All right, Ms. Coleman?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Nicholson? Mr. Tungel?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No, nothing else. Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad to see that was the change on the lobbying trip. I'm interested in going, but that's also another... there's another trip I'd like to go to, but we'll catch that one. Thank you. Community input and announcements. At this time, this is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or to make announcements of community or interest in the community with a three-minute time limit. You hear that, folks? There's a lot of empty chairs here. But we'll also have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. Is there anyone that wish to speak? Madam Clerk, are there any written comments submitted? Or does anybody on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
There were no written comments, but I do have one person on Zoom who has their hand up. I've just sent them an unmute request.
Thank you.
All right, caller who I just unmuted, would you say your name first, please, and then you'll have 3 minutes.
This is Nick Crome, Peace Yard, hoping to give some updates with some programs.
Thanks, Nick. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, just a couple here. Coming up, we have open registration for Seussical, the musical junior. It's a musical for grades 1 through 8. Auditions are January 22nd. And then the other exciting news I have is Fitness on Demand was made available just today in the multipurpose room at the community center. It uses our large video screen, and there's a tablet that you can operate, and you get to choose a whole bunch of different fitness classes like yoga, Zumba, and other things like that. And it's like you're with a real instructor. You can do it with however many people you're comfortable being in the multipurpose room with. And, yeah, just want to give that feature update. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crone. Is there any further? Anybody else on the electronic end?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. Next, we have public comment on agenda items. So, somewhere. this is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait till the end of the meeting, we'll have a comment later. To comment later with a particular item to discuss, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Once again, there's a 3-minute time limit per person. Does anyone wish to speak? Hearing none, city clerk, do we have anybody with submitted written comments or anybody Zoom or on the phone to speak?
I have none, sir.
Thank you. We're moving right along here. So up next is the work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into work session?
I make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Nicholson, second by Mr. Tungle. And if there are any objections, we were now in a work session. And the first order is review the draft FY 32 CMMP. We'll turn it over to the manager.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor and Council. The Planning Department continues to do a wonderful job coordinating the CMMP process. Today, Cameron is going to walk you through our initial draft. So this is that very first draft, and we're looking forward to your feedback as we continue to refine this and develop the second draft, which will take to council, I believe, about in the March timeframe. So we've been working on this since about October, I would say. And so again, this is the very first draft. And with that, I don't have anything further to add. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Cameron. He's been shepherding this through the last several weeks.
Okay, thanks, Vice Mayor Council. I'm going to focus on the changes to the CMMP since the FY22 one was approved by you last year, because the projects themselves should look pretty familiar. We've actually only added one new project to the CMMP compared to last year. That's a water utility project. The changes we have made were in response to feedback from council from last year. We revised the CMMP, mostly with an eye towards reducing and stabilizing those expenditures from the general fund, especially for the next couple of years. So to that end, we had a blanket rule. Any general fund projects that haven't already commenced that were scheduled for FY23, we've pushed back to later years. And then we've also moved around some other general fund projects to kind of balance out the budget year to year. And that was all based on the priorities that council agreed to in fall, November, this last November. So if you recall last year, that was the first year we did a 10-year CMMP rather than a 5-year one as it's required in code. And for that CMMP, council reviewed 69 projects, and that had a total portfolio over that 10 years of $231 million. But the first year of the CMMP is always the most important because that's actually what's going to be budgeted. In FY22, last year, council approved about $41 million in projects. In this year's CMMP, we're proposing 53 projects over the next 10 years. That includes both the drafts of the rolling stock replacement plan and the facilities maintenance plan that we introduced last year. The total cost is about $184 million over the next 10 years. And then FY23 is proposing 11 projects at a total cost of about $30 million. Little under $5 million of that is coming right now from the general fund, and almost $16 million is coming from grants or other external funding. What we're proposing this year is to use the 1% fund to offset some of what would otherwise be general fund expenditures in this coming year. Doing that by kind of similar to last year by covering the remaining $2.8 million commitment on McCushion Geothermal, as well as $1 million from the entrance channel dredging project. After this year, we're proposing to let the 1% fund grow until FY28, which is when we've scheduled the construction for the police station. So the construction for that is about $22 million, and we're expecting that the if we let it grow, the 1% fund will be sufficient to cover that by then. All the projects that we have proposed for FY23 are focused on maintaining our current infrastructure and continuing currently funded projects. We have three projects that are drawing from the general or 1% funds. This year, those have already started. They were approved as part of the FY22 CMMP. So that's the fiber network for the city facilities, interchannel dredging, and then the McCushion Geothermal project. The largest FY23 projects are the two dredging projects, and McCushion Geothermal are all associated with priorities that council identified. And then, like I said, we've got a pretty significant amount of external funding coming this year. So both the McCushion Geothermal and entrance channel dredging will be getting external funding, either from grants or from OCCP. And that's comprising about, well, over half of FY23's total requests. So I'll go through some of the kind of larger changes we made from last year. Big one is McCushion Geothermal project. If you compare the project list from last year, we've removed a lot of electric projects. As we discussed then, a lot of those were potentially going to be rolled into McCushion Geothermal. So we've done that. So projects like the SCADA upgrades, the flywheel or BESS energy storage system, submarine cable, those have all been removed, and those are part of the McCushion Geothermal project now. We're not actually requesting any additional funding beyond what was presented in last year's CMMP, but we are accounting for OCCP's contribution of $5 million, and that's in the external column on that table you have. There are some moving pieces with that still, so we're expecting that to change a little bit, but right now that's what we have. Like I said, the police station, planning to push that back to FY28, with the engineering coming in FY26, and then the fire station would come the following year after that. Similarly, the Captain's Bay Road is still in progress. The cost-benefit analysis isn't back yet, and we're expecting that back later this month, and that should, we'll be revising the phasing and funding plan for that when that comes back. So you see Captain's Bay Road on that table right now, think of that as a placeholder. We're accounting for the, you know, expenditure, but that phasing plan is going to change. And same thing with the facilities maintenance plan. We started doing that last year, of grouping a lot of the smaller facilities maintenance projects together into that plan. We're reviewing like exactly how we decide to include different projects onto that plan versus other budgets or making it their own CMMP project. So the numbers in here are based on the most recent draft of that, but you can expect changes to that as well. Like Aaron said, this is a draft, so we're looking for guidance as we continue to refine it. And I'm happy to answer any questions about it, and the folks who know more about the specific projects here than I do are here too.
All right, thank you. I'll turn it over to council. Ms. Libby.
Well, I think it's really great that we have a lot of external funding coming through. So one thing that does concern me a little bit is the proprietary funds. You know, utilities just went up. They're going to go up again, most likely. And the more we, you know, do stuff out of proprietary, that's always a concern for the community because that directly impacts their monthly, you know, bills. So that's one thing that, you know, kind of concerns me a little bit, but I don't know if there's anything else you can do there or not. But anyway, that was just the one comment I had about that. I think for now, I'll just see what everybody else has to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Tungle.
Thank you. Yeah, this is looking good. I think it's nice. We can always revisit where we at after this season coming up. There are, one thing I ask is the submarine cable. I thought we did. How far did we move the submarine cable? Are we talking about the one going across by Alyeska? And I thought that one we put it on top of priority list. So
that's been rolled into. It's still on here, but it's been rolled into the McCushion geothermal upgrades.
We were actually able to get, and Steve can speak to this a little bit more, but we were actually able to work with OCCP because they are also looking at doing some cables, you know, from their power plant. So we were able to work with them on the purchase. It's got a long lead time, the purchase of some of that cable. So that is, yeah, so as Cameron said, that is folded into that overall geothermal project that you see listed here.
Yeah, because that one is really getting pretty dangerous out there, and it's really need tender loving care on that one. That one is really bad shape. So I wish we, yeah, it'd be nice to see that going. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tungle. Ms. Coleman.
Yes. I am not sure. At this point, I have not been involved in conversations about dredging in that particular area. It's really been more the light cargo dock area and UMC, but perhaps, is Patrick on the line? Can he address in a minute?
Can we take a moment for a technical, please?
Sure, we'll take a short recess here.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Please enter the meeting passcode followed by pound. You are in the meeting now. There are 19 participants in the meeting. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6. You have been added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or listen until the host admits you to the meeting. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6. The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press star 6 to unmute. You are unmuted.
All back.
Okay, so Councilmember Coleman, I have not been involved in conversations regarding dredging in association with that cruise ship terminal area. We can certainly look into it, but I do want to give an opportunity if Patrick Bliss is on the line, if he is aware of any of that, he can chime in. Patrick Bliss, are you on the line? Oh, I guess you can't. City Manager Patrick Bliss is on the line, but we are having a technical issue and I can't unmute him.
So if you could look into that, because I would like, I mean, it makes obviously sense if this is, if the project goes forward, that it might be something to look into. Okay, thank you. All right, so on our state priority list, we have the Bobby Storrs Boat Harbor, but it's not on here.
We're not requesting additional funding for it. So it's not, this is just projects that we're requesting funding for.
Okay, thank you. Cool. So I know, so I'm looking at this and I know that, there's a lot of stuff for PCR. There's a lot of stuff for PCR and it's a lot of little stuff, but at this point, I know that was on the plan from last year, but there's some, I really started kind of looking at it and it was like, you have a, They want to do a survey or something, an assessment, and there's a lot of things going on, like they want to expand the pool, but then they want to recondition the pool. Then they want to put in a kiddie pool, they want to take it out or something. There's a lot of mismatch. It doesn't flow very well as far as logical sense with all the things they want to do, especially with some of the facilities. And it makes more sense to me that there's a, bear with me, you have a... what is it called?
A study.
Okay. It would be a study to see what the community needs, and I'm all for that. That's always good to do this kind of things. Really see, you know, reach out to really what do we need and why we're doing it. It makes a lot of sense to me to have that first before you really start throwing darts out there. Things, because I mean, especially with the pool, it's like, hey, we need in the years, you know. We need to make the pool bigger, but then we need to re-plaster it. So do we plaster it first and then expand it, or do we expand it first and plaster it? So it just seems like there's a lot of chronological issues with some of these improvements. I mean, do we really need that? I mean, we just put the ladder in, seems like, not too long ago, but maybe we didn't. I've been here a while. So I just want to make sure that with the... constraints of where we might actually grow as a community. I'm all for parks, culture, recreation. I just approved a lot. I mean, I'm on board with those, but I want to make sure that we are doing these things. We're being rational with our thoughts and expansion in some of these facilities there. So that's what, just take another look at what we're doing, why we're doing, and maybe, you know, that study is should be first and foremost before throwing a bunch of projects up there that may not really have, may not be the best interest at this time. So that's kind of where I'm at. I guess the other thing that's kind of a little concerning is holding back projects that I appreciate the combining of projects with our geothermal. And maybe this is a little premature, but if you're saying things are now going to get pushed again, do we? So this is kind of a theoretical question. So say they give us the money and we move forward with everything, and then for somehow the project stalls or gets canceled, do we already owing back, money back to the OCCP for stuff that, you know, we were obligated to do because the project never, I mean, that, yep. That may just be because we're moving forward, and I guess it might be premature on this discussion here, but it's kind of like, it's as we are combining, efforts here, it kind of concerns me.
So, if Cameron doesn't mind, I'll jump in and manage. So, your point is well taken, and I talk on a regular basis with Steve to make sure that we, when we are moving forward with these projects that we need to do, like the cable, that we are able to use the funds that council has allotted for us to spend. Does that make sense? So we're not spending money that we're hoping to bring in from OCCP. We have worked to make sure that any of the projects that we are working on have been agreed to by OCCP. So in the future, there's no question, of whether or not that actually qualified. So we're doing that. I will say to the comment that that's addressed in the memo, and Cameron brought it up, and you've just mentioned it, of perhaps postponing it. Frankly, that is a challenge right now, and I feel like 12 months ago we were presenting to you, and there were these moving parts, and we had a good run at it, and now there's going to be moving parts again. I've got a meeting with OCCP on Friday. I anticipate learning a little bit more about what they're requesting, and I'll be bringing that to council later, and then we'll have to get a staff team together to figure out how then that impacts the CMMP and what we bring to you moving forward. But at this point, that's the best we can say. But,
okay, thank you.
Is that it? Thank you. Mr. Bell.
Yeah, there's a few points that come to my attention right off. And the first one I'll talk about that is probably going to be a reoccurring theme here is in, 2023, we're showing almost $4.9 million coming from proprietary funds for different projects. And it's going to be a reoccurring theme is how do those projects and how do those monies going to affect rates in those proprietary funds over the short term and over the long term. There was one that really kind of struck me, and it's not as much of a concern because I'm going to look at everything past 2024 as a placeholder. But when you start spending in this year for a placeholder next year, then there's a little concern, and maybe you need to look at it with a little more critical eye, the pyramid water storage tank. I don't necessarily have a opinion one way or the other at this point on that water storage tank, but if it's something that is coming out of a proprietary fund, are we going to end up having to jack the water rates way up in order to pay for an $8 million tank? And we're already starting to spend money on that in 2023. So it's just one of those concerns that I'd look at. And then there was another project in here, and then that's in the Captain's Bay Road utility improvements where we're showing in 25, and I'm sure that would probably change, but, you know, $28 million in proprietary funds is where we're pulling money from. Once again, that's going to create a situation where we need to make some large utility increases or rate increases. So if you want to address any of those, thank you.
No, thank you for bringing that up. I will say, and Steve is in the room, so if there are specific questions that you have about specific projects, Steve can certainly address those. But I want council to be aware that if you compare, and I want to make sure I've got this right. I don't. Okay, yeah. So if you compare, staff has looked very closely, and Steve in particular, at the utility proprietary fund projects. You will notice a reduction, and I'm not going to go line by line for a proprietary fund, but the total in the proprietary amounts for last year's CMMP that was approved was over $10 million. And so what we're bringing to you this year is just over, just shy of $5 million. I also want you I want to highlight the fact that at the last council meeting, I'm losing track of my meetings, but we have been closing out projects, you know, that staff has really looked into and has decided really are no longer the appropriate route, and have returned those funds to the appropriate source fund. Tonight, council will also be considering a budget amendment to return unneeded funds out of projects that we still need to keep open into those projects funds. So we are diligently working to make sure that we are not spending more than we really need to maintain our system. But your point is well taken, and certainly that is exactly what we are trying to do. We do not want to see continual bit large rate increases for anyone. So we're certainly taking that to heart, and I hope that council recognizes that reduction in the proprietary funds dollar amount this coming fiscal year, as opposed to last year. And again, we're reducing the number of capital projects that really are needed and really truly do make a difference.
Well, and those will be numbers that I'll probably ask for as we move along, you know, hey, in this proprietary fund, you know, we're closing out these projects and this depreciation is going to drop off at, say, $200,000, but we're doing this other project where we're going to increase the depreciation by $500,000, you know, that's going to increase the overall cost in those funds. And just knowing where those dollars are, I think, is important moving forward.
Councilmember Bell, you also mentioned Captain's Bay Road, and again, as Cameron mentioned, we will be revising those numbers, and I've asked staff to really, you know, make sure that they're as accurate as possible. I mean, some of it's a little bit tough because it's further out, but we'll be working on that phasing plan and making sure that those numbers are accurately represented between the proprietary funds. So expect that to be refined as we move forward.
Okay, and then there was one more thought that came to me as I was looking over this, and it was brought on by the gasifier for the solid waste. And as the years pass, and as, you know, we move closer to these kind of projects, and as technologies change worldwide, is keeping abreast of anything, any other possibilities, or any new technologies that might be emerging, whether it be in any fund or any utility, that we might be able to take advantage of and would either cost less or have a greater benefit in the future. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Nicholson.
Thank you. Mr. Bell brought up a couple good points that I'd like to talk about as well. The gasifier, that's something that is very... You know, the technology is out there, and, you know, 2-3 years from now, once something like this goes into a play, is there, correct, is there going to be something that's a far more better solution to it, emitting less pollutants into the atmosphere and stuff? So that's something that is a good point there. But I'm also glad to see about the Captain's Bay Road. Hopefully we can be saving some monies like that in the future and combining some of the utilities and all the other things going on. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nicholson. Mr. Tungel?
I'm good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. The dredging. A while back, we were looking at extending that city dock. And this, I'm talking a while back, I'm talking probably 10 or more years ago. And there was discussion and talk about a shoal or a rock there on the south end of the city dock. So I'm glad Sherry brought that up, because that is something we need to be prepared for in the event that it is there. So... with that, and then the utilities, I mean, I guess the CMMP is a fluid document, and we're running a deficit in the utilities right now, all across the board. And it just may mean that some of these projects will likely slip if revenues don't start looking better. I mean, granted, they're looking good now, but we have a lot of external forces that are trying to sink their hatchet into us. And it's got me kind of worried for the first time in a number of years. I think with that, that's all I have. Thank you for your work on this. Ms. Libby.
Yeah, I was just curious, and maybe Jim Sharp could answer this possibly too. But so the capital projects and the depreciation, I know that's to recover the cost of any kind of things. But is there a way to fund that in a different way versus through the proprietary funds? I'm just looking at ways to reduce the expenses for the proprietary. And if there is a possible way to remove the depreciation out of there and recover that expense some other way, maybe even use, I mean, I know you want to use the 1% fund for the, you know, new UPD building, but possibly that could be a way to fund those projects possibly. And maybe look at something else for the UPD that's down the road a little ways. And I don't know. I was just thinking maybe, possibly.
Yes, that's a question for me.
So I'll see if I can answer that for you. So I look at, I mean, there's two parts to this. There's the actual cost of a project, which we can take from whatever sources are available, whether that's general fund, the 1% fund, or the specific proprietary fund that's going to benefit from that project. Another option, so that's one way, that's typically how they're funded. But typically the rates, and Steve Tompkins was involved in some of this, so he might be able to answer this better than I, but typically the depreciation depreciation is recorded within the particular fund in which where the asset is recorded. So in other words, we could fund a project for electric out of the general fund, but the asset's going to remain in the electric fund, and so the depreciation that goes along with that asset will be recorded as an expense, which will then play a part in determining what rates will be. And one of the best explanations that I heard from is from a consultant, I believe it was Mike Hubbard, who, when he talked about depreciation, one way to look at that is it's kind of a savings plan. So from an accounting standpoint, it's depreciation, it's not a cost. It's not a cash cost. So you don't have to write a check every month for depreciation. Really what that allows you to do is to save up those dollars to replace that item, which in effect, well, the depreciation impacts the rate. That's the best way that I feel like I can explain it. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I understand kind of what you're saying there, because it builds the fund back up and it recovers the cost. I guess I'm just looking for other options of reducing the rates, and with the depreciation in there, it does, you know, it does increase the cost to, you know, the consumer. So if there was a way to, you know, fund that somewhere else, and I understand you need to recover those costs, and you know, you're taking money from one place or another, but you know, if you take it from a different source, it might not impact the monthly, you know, bills that people have to pay. So that's all I was looking for, was to see if there was a way to kind of reduce those expenses in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Libby. I'm dating myself here because I can remember when the city didn't take depreciation into account. And I know that a lot of the projects we ended up having to do when we came to the point where we're replacing things were wild budgetary, you know, changes, really high rates, increases that were caused by doing that. By not taking taking the depreciation into account. So I think I understand that we'd like to be able to find another way to do that, but that's something during our discussion was we found that the adding the depreciation in would have been the best way to kind of even that out over the long term. So anyway, but that was a discussion back, I think, in 1992 or 93. So a while back. So, any further on the CMMP? No, thanks. With that, thank you, Mr. Cameron. We're going to get a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I'll make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
It's been moved by Luby and seconded by Nicholson. Any objections to moving into a regular session? Hearing none, we'll be back in. And first up on the agenda is the consent agenda. Can I have a motion and a second is there anybody who wishes to remove anything from the consent agenda? Hearing none, can I get a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Been second.
Moved by Coleman, second by Tungle. And the consent agenda consists of Resolution 2022-01, establishing the taxicab rates for calendar year FY22, and Resolution 2022-02, consenting to the assignment of a Category C outlaw lease from Icicle Seafoods to Westward Seafoods, Inc. And can I get a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Passes with 6 ayes. We're now on to the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak must sign up with the city clerk. First up, we have Ordinance 2022-01, first reading, creating budget amendment number 3 to fiscal year 2022 budget, accepting the ARPA Easy Grant for Libraries Award in the amount of $6,000 from the state library, increasing electric utility fund budget in the amount of $3 million due to increased diesel fuel costs, and returning a portion of the project cost to the original original funding sources for selected capital projects. May I have a motion to introduce ordinance 2022-01 and schedule for public hearing and second reading on January 25th, 2022?
I move to introduce ordinance 2022-01 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on January 26th, 2022.
I second it.
It's moved by Tungle and seconded by Nicholson. Council discussion? Or city manager, I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor and Council. I was going to kind of give a quick review of what this budget amendment was for, but I realize if I did, it would kind of be like repeating the title of the of the ordinance, so I'm going to spare you that. Staff is recommending approval of this budget amendment, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it along to Steve to give you a brief overview of some of the details that are described in the memo and that the amendment actually helps to achieve. And together with the respective directors, we can then answer questions that you might have. So go ahead and take it away, Jim.
Just
good evening again. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of the budget amendment in front of you. As you can see, there's three components to it. Two of them are fairly straightforward, one of which we've got the city library received a $6,000 ARPA-related grant from the state, which they have specific uses earmarked for. And then the Electric Utility Fund has requested $3 million increase due to increased fuel costs, quite frankly. And some of that will be recovered through COPA, which is outlined in the memo. And the last item on there is to return a portion of project costs to the original funding source. And that came about through our monthly capital projects meetings. We identified three projects that you have before you that were essentially complete or ready to be closed, but not quite ready to be closed. But we knew that there was more than sufficient funds remaining in the project budgets to cover whatever costs may come about, and thought it would be prudent to return some of those costs back to the original funding source. There's two projects, a PCR project, a ports project, and a DPS project. And for any of the technical type questions, I will most definitely defer to the directors, but I'm more than happy to entertain any general budget amendment type questions that you may have.
Thank you. We'll go to the council. Mr. Bell.
I don't really have any questions. I think Mr. Sharp kind of covered that, and that $3 million in fuel costs, if all that gets used, that will be covered by COPA, I assume, and that the increase in utility bills is going to be because of fuel costs. They are going up, and I was going back to find the numbers here, but it looks like it's gone up substantially from where it was about the same time last year. So thank you.
Mr. Nicholson.
No questions at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Luby.
No questions.
Ms. Coleman.
No questions.
Mr. Tungle.
No question.
And I don't have anything here. So, City Clerk, has anybody signed up from the public?
No, sir.
Anybody on Zoom or the phone wishing to speak?
No, sir.
Yippee. We have a roll call vote, please.
Certainly. Bell?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously. that was good. Lick my fingers. Well, any directives to the city manager? And community inputs. This is the last chance for folks from the provide information to the council and make for announcements that have interest to the community. Are there any further announcements? City Clerk, are there any written comments or by telephone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Thank you. Just announce that we will be having a special meeting Monday, January 24th, to review the FY23 revenue projections and budget goals. So mark your calendars. And with that, one other thing that I wanted to attend, I guess, just for councils, is February 16th through 18th is a legislative conference with Alaska Municipal League in Juneau. And you know, being on the AML board, we were pretty effective the last couple times we've gone down, turning a lot of stuff that the governor had kind of axed for rural communities. I know it's really close to our legislative, you know, our lobbying trip, but I think this gives a good chance to get down there and test the waters and even prep for our upcoming meeting. But you know, it's something I'd like to attend. And I don't know if we need to get that done sooner, or how do you want to handle that?
We have that slated to be considered by council at the next meeting.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's just information. There are some items that were in your emails from Alaska Municipal League. Margie forwarded some of those things on. The final rule on the ARPA funds, that was one of the main things that our congressional delegation was looking forward to. It's about a 300 or 400 page document. Highly suggest reading it, because it, with everybody, it'll give you the opportunity to maybe figure out how we can maybe attack, you know, get some of those additional funds that are out there for capital projects. That, and then just the information coming from AML is going to be a lot this year. So with that, an executive session. We're going to be discussing Unalaska Tideland Survey 103, tracks B and C. And can I get a motion to go into executive session? And the motion is:
I move to go into executive session to discuss Unalaska Tideland Survey 103, tracks B and C, the immediate public discussion of which may adversely affect the legal position of the City of Unalaska. Present in the executive session will be the mayor, council members, city attorney Charles Casciola via telephone, and the city manager, planning director Bill Amka, and Cameron Dean of the planning department.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Tungle and seconded by Councilmember Luby. And with that, we will clear the room and are in executive session. Thank you.
Mr. Dean and Mr. Casciola, I'm going to end the Zoom meeting and then call into the AT&T number. Thanks.